Church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava, and this is Caleb, and we are so excited that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got?
We have Easter. Easter is coming up, and we'll be here before we know it. We are so excited about our Good Friday and Easter services this year. We have something super special that we are working on, and we want you to be praying and asking how God would lead you to invite people to come to church. We are praying and believing that many lost people would come and be found by Jesus during these services. So be praying that God would open doors for you to invite your friends, neighbors, and coworkers to come to our Good Friday and Easter services this year. We hope to see you there.
And then we have First Saturday Prayer. Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer, and that is why we do First Saturday Prayer. First Saturday Prayer is where we gather together at the beginning of each month to pray for all that the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming month. This one-hour prayer service consists of worship, an encouraging word, personal prayer, and corporate prayer. We would love to see you each month for First Saturday Prayer.
Have you decided to follow Jesus and don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up for baptism, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
And then we have Growth Track. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe Church, helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them and how you can serve in the church, and it gives you the opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month right after church service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. So if you would like to sign up for Growth Track, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and you can get signed up there, or you can scan the QR code on the screen.
We are in week 4 of our series, Built Different. Last week, we looked at Jonah and how he needed to be built different in obedience and attitude. This week, we're looking at another powerful story of an individual in the Bible who is built different. As a reminder, each week, we're discovering these people and how they were built different and how we can live different just like them. And don't forget, this series is happening church-wide, so kids, youth, and adults will all be hearing the same messages that day. So please, grab those invite cards on the pews next to you and invite some families you know to come to church with you.
And if you have any questions about anything we just talked about, you can head on out to the Welcome Center and they will get you all taken care of there and answer your questions. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word and continuing our series, Built Different.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Before I talk on our person, Peter, today, I want to say a great big thank you for all those that stayed after church last week before the healing service that we had last Sunday night. So there was hundreds of you stayed. It was fantastic. It was good to just hear y'all praying and just taking that time out and not thinking about you or your stomachs, but for somebody else who needed healed, set free, and delivered. And God did, so many amazing things. I remember calling that Roz. I said, that thing is gone. And she texts me the next morning, and she was at the biopsy place or wherever, and she said, no clots, gone. And I said, well, there's no surprise there, you know, amen. And when she went in there, she told the lady, you're not going to find anything. I was a healing miracle service last night. And then she looked at everything. She said, there's nothing there, but I guess you already knew that. That was a beautiful testimony. It was awesome. So God did, some amazing stuff. And even testimonies are still coming in. So thank you for your prayers, your sacrifices. I think it's the first time we've ever done that where we've had the church stay and pray. And so you guys are all a part of what God did that night. So thank you so much. And we're going to have another one this fall. I think we know the date, but we'll get that to you. And so that was beautiful. Amen. God is good. Amen. And all the time. Because that's his nature. Wow. Amen. All right. So we're going to be discussing our next to last week. We're going to be dealing with Peter today, and then Nicole's going to finish it up next week with, what's her name? Rahab, yes, we're going to talk about Rahab. Somebody said, I don't hear any women in this series. I said, well, now you're going to get one. Rahab's coming up, so you just get ready next week for Rahab. It's going to be really good. But Peter was built differently through humility. Through humility. And I'm thinking, well, when I first heard that, and okay, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to talk about Peter, I thought, humility, wow. I don't remember Peter being humble hardly at all. And so as we dive into it, we're going to find out that he was the disciple that was talked about the most and discussed the most out of all the disciples through the 11. He was the one that was talked about the most and brought up the most. It was Peter. His real name was Simon, but Jesus gave him the name Peter when Andrew introduced him, which is his brother. And when Peter saw him, Andrew, this is Jesus. He is the one. And he said, hi, my name is Simon. Now your name is now Peter. So he's always changing something out of somebody. So his name was called Peter from that day forth. Peter was considered poor. He lived a simple life as a fisherman. He only had a certain amount of education. We're not sure how much he had. And he didn't follow all the Torah laws. As a matter of fact, in Acts 4:13, the Sanhedrin called him uneducated and untrained. What a compliment that was. He had a brother named Andrew, as we just said, and he was also a fisherman. And his dad, Barjona, was probably considered a fisherman also and just went down. Peter was married, and if you do your research, you'll find out that she even helped him and was part of the ministry, which was fantastic. We don't know if he had any kids or not. I'm sure he did, you know, versus the trend back then. But he was strong-willed, enthusiastic. He was impulsive, and he was brash at times. He was an uneducated, doubting, denying, sinful man. In other words, he was kind of like us. Okay. But that's the type of person that Jesus called to be the leader of the disciples in the new covenant and the building block of the new covenant church. Somebody like that. Wow, he's always confounding the wise, isn't he? Always. I'm so thankful that he picked me because I'm just a little brash at times. Hallelujah. Peter was built different and he had his ups and downs, his moments of humility, but also moments of pride as well. He had a lot of firsts in his life. I'm going to go through some of them. Maybe you can relate, maybe you cannot relate. He was always the first to speak. I can relate. I got my first whack in kindergarten because I would not shut up. And it's a very true story. We got paddled back then when I was growing up in the 80s. And I got paddled in school all the way up through the 7th grade. Now, I'm not proud of that. But the only reason I didn't get spanked in 8th grade is because they took the paddles out of the school. So, but he was always first to speak. He was the first to voice his opinion. Again, I can relate to that as well. He was the first to cut off a Roman soldier's ear. He was the first to walk on water. And I do believe the last. He was the first to rebuke Jesus. And then he was the first to be called Satan by Jesus. That's pretty rough right there. He was the first to deny Jesus 3 times. And he was the first that we know of to use foul language in public as a disciple. He was the first to tell Jesus he wasn't washing his feet. And he might have been the first to fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was calling them to stay up and pray for an hour. But I may be pushing that a little bit, but we know he did fall asleep, but he may not have been the first one, okay? And he was the first to tell Jesus that he would die with him. Wow. Then Peter, in Matthew 17:1-4, he was the first to put Jesus in the same category as Elijah and Moses. And it says right there in Matthew 17:1-4, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. In other words, Jesus' appearance changed into something radiant and glorious. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Woo, can you imagine? And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Man, wouldn't that have been something to see? My goodness. But then Peter, it says, who wasn't being talked to or even noticed, interrupted the conversation, said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Oh, Peter. And guess what else he was the first at? Getting interrupted by God. Wow. Because as he was spewing and spouting and not even know what he's talking about, God interrupts him. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Do what he says to do. Follow him." Whatever he said. Interrupted Peter completely. Ignored him completely. And it says that Peter and the other two were so scared, they knelt on the ground. And then Jesus picked them up and said, "No worries." Wow, that's a lot of firsts for Peter. Some pretty bad, actually. Those seemed bad, but he did have some goods. Some firsts that were absolutely amazing. For instance, he was the first who got the revelation of who Jesus really was. Now, why he did not get that on the Mount of Transfiguration, I do not know. But he got it here. It says in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," again, which means son of Jonah, his father, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." What a great first that must have been. He was also the first to enter the empty tomb. Woo! Now, I've been to Israel, and I have entered that empty tomb. But I wasn't first. John 20th chapter, verse 3, it said, "Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb." The first one in the tomb. He was the first to preach after Jesus went to heaven as well. In Acts 2:14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" And he preached that first sermon where over 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus and started the church, which again was something that he did that was first. He was the first to be the leader among the apostles. In Matthew 10:2, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First," which means in the Greek protos, which means chief or leader, "Simon, who was called Peter." So he was the first to be a leader. And then, again, he was first to start the church in Acts 2:41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And then he was the first to perform a great miracle in Jesus' name. In Acts 3:6, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And that man who had been lame from birth stood up and was healed instantly." Wow. And of course, that caused Peter a lot of problems. But still, the first to do that. Now, all that sure does make up for the firsts of Peter's life. But as the subtitle says, he was built different through humility. So what I want to do is I want to go to a specific part of Peter's life, the most specific part probably that turned his life around and really created that humility in his life. We're going to stay right in there because there's so much that you can talk about Peter, but we're going to stay right there and talk about really who he ultimately would be and how that relates to our lives today. So, ironically, we're going to start in Luke, the 22nd chapter, where the disciples are being very prideful. In verse 24, Luke 22, verse 24, it says, "Now there was also a dispute among them," of course, the disciples, "as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Sounds prideful to me. As Jesus is giving them a lesson in humility, he turns to Peter and says in Luke 22, verse 31, that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." We all know the story. Jesus then was betrayed. And if you go on down to Luke 22, verse 54, it says, "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house." This was Jesus. "But Peter followed at a distance." I thought just a few minutes or hours before that he was ready to go to prison with him and ready to die with him. What happened? Why all of a sudden was he a little chicken just following behind, watching what was happening and not saying, "I am also with him"? What happened, Peter? What happened to the prideful Peter that he was? "But Peter followed at a distance," it says. "And now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together." Remember that. Kindled a fire in the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat among them. We know that three people said that he was with Jesus, and of course he denied it three times. In verse 60, if you go down, "And he said to the last man, 'I do not know what you're saying. Blankety blank, blank, blank.'" You can figure that out yourself. "Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." Wow. "Then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, 'How he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." Bitterly. That was probably the most humiliating and humbling moment in Peter's life. That could have scarred him forever and changed him forever, and not for the better, but for the worst. But then, of course, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples two times. Peter was there both times, got to see him alive and well. And then Peter somehow in the midst there said, "Well, I'm done. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I knew, what I know to do." And so he decides to go fishing. In John chapter 21, verse 3, "Simon Peter said to them," the two other disciples that he was talking with, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast out, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They figured out it's Jesus. And Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to shore, leaving the others behind to get all the fish. And go down to verse 9. It says, "Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' They all sat around the fire and ate breakfast." They all sat around the fire and ate breakfast. And in John 21, verse 15, go on down. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And at this one, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. This is how merciful and loving Jesus was to Peter. And something else that is so cool that Peter probably, of course, did not even know, and neither did any of the disciples, but because we get to read this, we get to see their life and go through everything, was that, remember, there was a fire that Peter sat around when he denied Jesus three times with a bunch of people. How humiliating again that must have been. Him denying, sitting right there with all the others in front of a fire. But then there was a fire with the disciples at the sea, and he sat around that fire with Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus restores him in front of that fire in front of his disciples. Wow, that was pretty good. That's amazing. The word for fire or coals is called anthrikia in the Greek. I'm probably saying that wrong. Or a heap of burning coals. And do you know it only appears twice in the whole New Testament? And guess where it appears? At his denial and at his redeeming only. Wow. That's the Jesus that we serve. He is merciful and graceful, isn't he? And Peter found that and got that, and he probably didn't even know that part. Jesus takes it a step further. Remember when Peter said, I am ready to go to prison with you and even die? Well, Jesus, at his redeeming around that fire, told him what death that he would glorify God in at his end. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that I'd have wanted to know that. You know, Peter, guess what, buddy? You're going to be doing this, and then you're going to get this, and then you're going to be hung and all that. And I didn't need that part, Jesus. I didn't need that part. But Jesus was graceful and merciful to him and told him what he was going to do. And in the end, Peter was crucified by the Roman Emperor Nero. This time he didn't run. This time he didn't hide. This time he didn't cuss. And this time he did not deny Jesus. He was brave, and he even asked to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be hung as Jesus did. That was true humility. True humility. He wrote two great books, the first and second Peter. And I want you to turn now to 1 Peter 5:1. And we're going to stay in this vein here for the rest of our time. 1 Peter 5:1. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Again, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You know, that was a pretty, I guess, humble statement for Peter to say, because he was more than an elder. He was an apostle, the lead apostle at that. And why would he bring up that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ? Hello, Peter, you remember what you were doing when Christ was being suffered? Yeah, you were denying, cussing, running, and hiding. So why would you ever want to bring that back up? Number one, you're not an elder, you're an apostle. And number two, why would you ever bring up something that was so humiliating that probably scarred you for life? Why would you bring those two things up? Now see, me, I would have probably said something like this in 1 Peter 5:1 as I opened it up. The elders who are among you, I exhort myself as an apostle over you and a witness of the transfiguration of Jesus the Christ, and true Messiah on the mount, and of whom name me Peter the Rock. I greet you, lowlifes, today. He didn't do that. No. He was very humble. I would say that he had grown in his walk with Jesus, and now he had become a humble servant. Wouldn't you say? Absolutely. In verse 2, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by the compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock." Wow, he said a lot there. You know, Peter seemed to remember Jesus' three-part commission to him at breakfast, when after he told Jesus he loved him, Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then again, feed my sheep." Now, as your pastors, Nicole and I are to protect, guide, help you grow in your faith, and make sure that you are nurtured by the whole counsel of God's word. That's our jobs. It's a mouthful, actually. And in doing that, we cannot expect the seed of God's word to take root in our lives if you cannot see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Make sense? Absolutely. If you're a leader, you should lead the way you want to be led. Let that sink in. Be the kind of leader that you would want to follow. Okay? You understand? All right, that was free. What you need from us the most is for us to live right, be holy for God is holy, and for us to be humble. That's what you need as a flock. Now, as leaders in your home, what you need from your family the most is for you to live right, be holy for God is holy, and for you to be humble. It's the same thing. Doesn't change. Peter also says that we shouldn't be shepherds for shameful or dishonest gain, but eagerly. In other words, we should have a wholehearted desire to want to shepherd. And not just for money, of course, or fame, or a platform, or even these days, a social platform. It's what happens out there. We should want to shepherd the flock regardless of the success a person could get. That's humility. Amen? We should love coming to work for you. And it is a joy so far. It is a joy, you know. Obviously, everybody has their days, their good days and their bad days. But you know, when it comes to selfish gain, I just heard this from a guy that we know, an evangelist that we know, that if you want to counsel from your pastor, you have to call and make an appointment, and it will cost you $500 to counsel with your pastor. You heard the same thing. I kind of like that idea, actually. If I wasn't humble, and if I had not read these scriptures to where now I am accountable. Sounds great. But that is a true story that a pastor does. What? What kind of person is that? Then I knew a children's pastor and his wife that were both children's pastors together up in Michigan. And they came down and we talked and we were counseling them and having dinner with them. And they said, they actually asked some advice for myself. And I don't know, Nicole, if you were with, you might have been with me. I'm not sure. They said, our pastor, we've been working at the church now for over a year, and our pastor has not met with us. And I said, okay, it sounds a little strange. Yes, if we see him in the hallways, we are not allowed to talk to him. We have to make an appointment to talk with him. We have made two appointments with him, and he has canceled them both due to other issues. So we have not talked to him for a year. Wow. What should we do? I said, find another job. Find a pastor who cares about you. You know, when Pastor Kylan came and first started working here at the church, Pastor Dosek would just walk in the room. Hi, Kylan, sit down and ask him how he was doing. Well, after Pastor Dosek would leave, he'd run to my office. Pastor Randy, what did I do wrong? Am I getting fired? Is something happening? I said, what? He said, that don't happen. Pastors don't walk in to other offices and say, hi, where I'm from. That is something, you've done something wrong. You're going to get demoted, whatever. I said, dude, he sees you first as your pastor, then as your boss. He cares about you first, and then he'll get on you later if you do something wrong. And he said, dude, that's crazy. But that's what's out there, and a lot worse. And thankful those two people did quit, and they did find another place to serve where their pastor put them first over himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Whew. Okay. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Wow, that does not sound like the once prideful Peter before the crucifixion, does it? It does not. So why does God resist the proud? Very good question. Wasn't Lucifer prideful? Yeah, that would be enough for me to resist the proud if I was God. Yeah. And then Adam and Eve pridefully exalted themselves over God's wisdom. They thought they knew best. Listen to the devil. You will be like God. And they listened. And of course, we know what happened. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride and entitlement go together. They're almost like one. Pride will keep us unteachable. Pride will open up a critical spirit in you. So if you're feeling a little critical, check yourself. Having pride will keep you on the defensive. Prideful people think they are better than any other people. And most of them think that they cannot do anything wrong. Prideful people won't serve anyone but themselves either. Very sad. And here's one that's even worse. Self-righteousness also stems from pride. It's in the church. We try to weed it out with messages like this, and we hope it gets into the spirit and changes a heart. A good example of those are Pharisees and Sadducees, a good example of self-righteousness. Jesus said, he who exalts himself will be what? Humbled. Will be humbled. And I said Wednesday night, if you were here, that some people think that to be a good disciple, you must be hyper-intellectual. I said, you must be homiletical, philosophical, hermeneutical, and hermeneutical. I know more about my theological doctrine than you. Wow, how prideful. It has nothing to do with that. Just because you know what the Bible says doesn't make you a mature disciple or Christian. No, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not just be a hearer only of the word. Doers of the word produces true, spiritual, mature, humble disciples of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are people out there, they believe they don't need a shepherd, that they don't need a church, they don't need a pastor. All they need is Jesus, Jesus. That's all I need. Either you're being prideful, you're deceived, or both. You can't take what you want out of the Bible and keep what you want in the Bible. It's all or nothing. Hallelujah. Okay. That was free, I guess, too. Okay. Yeah. You can't be a great leader until you are a good follower. Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. And he was a humble servant. That's what he came to do. So let me give you another nugget. Write this down if you're writing something down. If you're not writing something down, write this down. God cannot give you humility. Let me say that again. You will never find in the Bible where God says, I will give you humility. You won't find it. Now, he will humble you if he chooses. Just ask King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, that's one good example. He will humble you if he chooses to. He will also allow you to fall if you are prideful. Just like he can't make you love him, he can't make you serve him, he can't make you humble. That's a hard issue. You and God have to deal with that on your own. Humility is a choice, a decision that you have to make. Peter had to make the choice to be humble and follow Jesus. If he had not, he would have never become a fisher of men. Jesus wouldn't have allowed it to happen because Jesus would have never allowed him to hurt other people. Now let's close with this last scripture verse. Turn to 1 Peter 5:6. You should just be able to go on down a little bit. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. A great way to humble yourself also that came to my mind is fasting. I know I just said a cuss word in church, sorry. Fasting is a good way to humble yourself. David says in Psalms 35:13 that he humbled himself with fasting. Yikes. Jesus started out his ministry with a 40-day fast. Whew. Humbleness comes also from fasting. Fasting takes away the justification of the soul, the entitlement of the soul. I goes away. And you humble yourself and deny yourself what it wants. Fasting will do that for you. I heard somebody say they went on a fast. They never went on one before. It was just a 24-hour fast. And he said it was the worst day of their life. It was no food. The worst day of their life. He said it was horrible. And he said at the end of the 24-hour fast, he said, I had a talk with my stomach and with my soul. He said, you have been a bad, bad boy. And he said, because you have been so bad, I am doing another 24-hour fast. Woo! Humbling himself by fasting. That was free also. Hallelujah. That won't cost you $500. All right. Okay. So that simply means the way to be exalted is to be humble. And the way to be humbled is to exalt yourself. Yeah? Absolutely, that's what it says. You want to be exalted? You go down. And by going down, God will bring you up. I want to tell myself, my body, I rule you, you don't rule me. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to bring myself low. And God says, if you do that, then he, in due time, will raise us up. Yes. It's pretty simple. It's not very difficult at all. Now, in becoming humble, we must be careful not to fall into false humility. False humility. I've seen this over and over. We should have a low view of our importance, okay, but not a low view of ourself. You see the difference, okay? I am going to be low. I am going to see myself as not as important as somebody else. I'm going to lead maybe even from the middle, not from the top, hovering. So I see myself as not as important as other people, but yet I do not have a false humility in, of course, saying that I'm nothing, that I'm ugly. I'm stupid. I have no talent. No, that is false humility. And a lot of people actually use that to get other people's attention, which then, of course, is pride. Pride. Downplaying your accomplishments and pretending to be humble to gain favor or control are other ways that are false humility. Yes, oh, I just want to thank God and praise God that I was in line and there was two little kids and I was, oh, I had $100 to my name and I gave it to the kids because, oh, thank God I'm just doing what God said and being humble and, oh, to God be the glory. Now, you have your reward right then. Remember, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. So, I've done a couple things this week that nobody knows about except my family because it came up at breakfast. Stay humble and get away from false humility. So I hope today Peter's life is a testimony to the power of humility and grace that God can give us. He was like most of us, an ordinary man, filled with flaws. And we saw through Peter that failure is not final. We've all failed at some point in our lives or another. We've all displeased God in one way or another. But failure is not the end and it's not final. And it wasn't for Peter. I don't think we've ever done what Peter did. Denied Jesus and looked at him face to face. And used foul language to try to separate us from him. Whew. I don't think we've done that. But I know we've all failed. And I know we probably have some scars from it. But when we humble ourselves, depend on Jesus, God for you will do what he did for him. Changed his life because he humbled himself and therefore he changed his world. Changed the world. He said they turned the world upside down. Wow. From what we read on his firsts to what he did in the end, what a difference Peter made in his community, with his family. His wife probably stopped going like this all the time. Yes. Oh, Peter. Finally proud of him. And Jesus was also proud of him. Loved him and had mercy and grace and compassion because he obviously is like us. He's human. So I want us to all stand this morning and I want us to do something a little different. When I felt this in my spirit, again, I said, really? Really? And just like the last confirmation I got a confirmation while Nicole was down here at 9:15 with the dream team, encouraging them. She said a word, be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable. And bam, that hit my spirit. I said, yep, okay, that's confirmation. Be uncomfortable. So I want us to do something that maybe some of you have never done in your life. If you can't do this, it's okay. You can just sit down in that pew. But I want us to get on our knees, humble ourselves, and pray for a couple minutes. And you know, as I was thinking this, something else came up to me. You know, if those of you in here used to be Catholic, even the Catholics genuflect. Go down on one knee as a sign of humility, humbleness, devotion, because they believe Jesus is in the Eucharist. Well, you and I both know here today that Jesus is here with us. So I want to go down on both knees. And I just want to praise him for a minute or two. So if you'll do that right now as the band is playing, let's just get down on our knees if you can. If you can't, sit in that pew. And obviously when we're done, your neighbor will help you up. But just act like nobody's around you. Just humble yourself. Again, you want to raise your hands. You want to give him glory for what he has done for you. Then you go right ahead. If you need to repent for pride today, then do that right now, for he is here with us. He is in the midst of us. He is helping us. He has been speaking to your spirit even now. Conviction is fallen even now. This is the most humble place we can be, is on our knees before our King of Kings. God, I thank you today. And I humble myself today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and grace on my life today. God, I repent, Father, for being prideful in any way, Father, today. And just publicly, I say I'm sorry. As I low myself, become low, you, Father, will exalt us. Not that I want it, not that I need it. It's just what you do. The more humble I am, the more you give us, the more you do for us. I thank you for revelation in our lives and in my life. And God, I just humble myself before you. And I raise my hands in submission to you this morning. I thank you for forgiving me. You know, while you're there, thank you, Lord. This is good. Pride keeps us from serving him as well. We don't need a savior. We're doing just fine. Or I got plenty of time. Tomorrow, we have no idea what's going to happen. If you're there and you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. If you've never confessed that you have been a sinner or are a sinner, and that if you died today, you'd go straight to hell. While you're down there, humbling yourself, just go a little further and give your life to him. He will raise you up. He will help you. Your life will change today. Just repent right now if that's you in this house. Repent. Say, Jesus, I'm so sorry for what I have done. I am a sinner on the way to hell. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins right now in Jesus' name. Forgive me. Wash them away as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again, Lord. And God, lead me and guide me. Keep me humble, Father, and not prideful. Put people in my path that will help me, Lord Jesus. And God, as you died for me, I will live for you this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you did that for the first time, when we are done here this morning, I want you to go out to that welcome center and tell them what you did. We want to help you. We want to give you some information. And we want to be part of your family here at Only Believe. Now, God, I thank you that you're changing people's hearts even now. You're speaking to people even now. Thank you for your humbling people today, God. We give you praise. We give you glory and worship. You, we love you above all others, as you asked Peter. And as a sign, we are here on our knees, humbling ourselves before you. Thank you for exalting us up as we stay humble before you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we dismiss today, God is healing hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, he's healing hearts. He's mending wounds. Thank you for that, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just let go. Come on, let go. Let him. Come on. Hallelujah. That pride, just let it go in Jesus' name. Devil, I rebuke you right now, trying to hold people in prideful states. Go in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Needed him before a fire. He needed him to come back to the place he fell off.
That's right.
Some of you,
thank you, Jesus.
This repentance is going to bring take you right back to where you fell off the wagon. It's going to take you right back to where you were. But God is a God of second chances.
Yes, yes.
That's what changed Peter. You don't know humility.
Hallelujah.
Without first knowing what pride was. It doesn't make you a loser. It doesn't mean that it's exhausted and there's no second chance. What it means is repentance is the beginning.
Hallelujah.
Of the second chance. Mm-hmm. So yes. This time we go before the fire.
Jesus.
And we do it right.
Amen.
We do it
yes.
right. We're not
yes.
separating ourselves from Christ, but we're doing it with Christ.
That's right.
That we go through it.
Hallelujah.
So don't be alarmed if you're back at the same place, the same time. And the Holy Spirit quicken. To each and every one of you, that when you come into that space again, where you failed the first time, that the Holy Spirit says, here you are.
Yes.
Here's your second chance.
Amen. Amen.
And rely on him.
Amen.
To do it through you.
Yes.
You can do it because
yes.
he is greater in you than he that is in the world.
That's right.
Second chances.
Thank
they're
you,
coming
Jesus.
Back.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. We will not be the same as we came in today in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Holy Ghost. I praise you. And we just glorify you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word that came forth today that changed our hearts, Lord God. And we thank you for humility, Lord Jesus, just to engulf us from the top all the way down. And Lord, we are changed today. And you, Father, will exalt us and you will get all the glory. Father, as we leave today, we thank you for blessing each family. Thank you for blessing each household. Thank you for God, the blood of Christ being over their doorposts today. I thank you, Holy Ghost. No harm will come to them, Lord God. And I thank you that healing, Lord, is their inheritance. And we thank you, Father, for that healing in this house, moving through their bodies, God, emotionally and physically, in the name of Jesus, God. Now, Father, I thank you they have favor wherever they go and whatever they do this week. Lead them to people that need you. Lead them to people, Lord God, that their lives can be changed through prayer, through relationship. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We love you guys. And we'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I will give you everything.